Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Body of Christ Church, and you are listening to our program, Kings and Priests, where we teach repentance to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. In these last days, darkness has covered the earth, and gross darkness covers the people. But for those who choose to hear the words of the Father and the instructions of Jesus Christ, He will give them the power to become the nation of kings and priests they were ordained to be from the foundations of the earth.
Gotta keep my faith alive, love is found, the ashes to
where is love? Where is love?
Kings and priests, Valentine's Day. Where is the love? This is what we're going to be talking about today. You know, the origin of Valentine's Day. Is it about the love of the Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ? And where is the love that's in the world? It's supposed to be Valentine's Day. But why is black men getting killed on the street like it's a blue light special at Walmart? You know, we have to look in these things and see what's really, really going on. So I'm going to bring in my co-host, the brother Abaji. He does a show on Friday nights called Repentance is the Key, 7 p.m. You get a chance, definitely check out that show. You're home on a Friday night. Should be home on a Friday night. It's the Sabbath. Should be resting yourself. Long week working. And you know work's not made for us. It's a curse. According to the book of Genesis, man and women are not supposed to be working. We're supposed to be enjoying the whole earth. It's supposed to be paradise. But Adam and Eve messed that up, so we got to claim it back so we can just relax and enjoy our life and live out our life in pleasures. That's what the Most High made this earth for. It's for our enjoyment, and everything was good. So, Brother Abaji, good morning, good afternoon. How you doing?
Hey, my son Craig. I'm good. A little under the weather, but I'm here.
I hear that. Soldiers have to keep fighting. You need to get one leg. Mm-hmm. Have to keep fighting. So I know something about that. So that song is a very good song. I like that song by the Black Eyed Peas, Where is the Love? It's a good question. Where is the love? Where, you know, why is things the way they are in the world? Let's go to Matthew 24:12. Because I believe Jesus Christ has an answer for us. Okay, some people don't call him Jesus. Some people call him Yeshua. Hey, brother, there's no J in the Hebrew. Okay, I understand that. Appreciate that. Okay, so are we just going to call him Jesus? You call him Yeshua, Yahweh Shai, whatever. Understand it. But he's still the anointed Messiah. Okay? Jesus, Joshua, Yahshua, it means he saves. Okay? So he saves, the Savior, the Messiah, is going to speak and give us the answer why there's a decline of neighborly love, why there's a decline of godly love. Because a lot of people, they say that they love God, but then they celebrate these holidays like Valentine's Day. Well, it's just love towards my loved one. It's love towards my wife. It's love towards, you know, my girlfriend. It's love towards my husband, you know. That's not how the Bible defines love. And that's why love is on a decline. So read Matthew 24:12, and let's see what the Lord has to say.
All right. Matthew 24:12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold.
So what is iniquity? It says, because iniquity shall abound. Abound means it's going to grow. So what is iniquity, Roger? What is this that's growing on the earth?
The sin and the breaking of the Lord's commandments.
And that's absolutely right.
That's like pick and choose. Whether it's adultery, whether it's fornication, whether it's idolatry, whether it's covetousness, whether it's, you know, taking the name of the Lord in vain, that's just any of the Ten Commandments, you know.
This is the textbook definition. It says immoral or grossly unfair behavior. So you see, like, the things that happen in New York, how, you know, they had the brother in the chokehold. And he said he can't breathe. Is that unfair behavior?
Mm-hmm. Gosh, oh, yeah.
Young man shot in Ferguson. Was that unfair behavior?
Some would argue no. But you look at just the disregard and the disrespect that people have for each other in general. You know, the scriptures, you know, it rings true.
It is unfair. I'll just put it out there. It's unfair. Okay? You know, I was in the military and was trained as military police, and we wasn't trained to treat people like that. We wasn't trained to treat trained killers that way, because everyone that's in the military, you go through those 8 weeks. You and the Marines, I think it's 10 weeks or 12 weeks. 10 weeks.
12, yeah.
So they're extra killers, you know. They're replacement killers. You don't want to see them land on the beach. So we wasn't trained to treat them that way. You know, civilians, you know, it should be a lot easier. So it is immoral, and it says grossly unfair behavior. Grossly unfair. That's what's happening in the world. It's like, what law is this? What laws are these? And then it goes right into what you're saying also about people not keeping the commandments, because it's going into iniquity, is going into wickedness, is going into immorality. You know, people taking off their clothes, people sexting at a drop of a dime, and they're talking about, why he won't marry me? Because you're a hoe. That's why he won't marry you. He won't marry you. He won't put a ring on it. Because you done been with Tom, Dick, Harry, Jaquan, Twan. That's why he don't want to marry you. And you're like, oh, she want to get with me. Because you ain't got no job. What are you talking about? She don't like me. She a hoe. No, she don't want to get with you because you ain't got no job. And you ain't treating nobody right. But see, this is what the scriptures show us how it's done, how love is real. And Valentine's is not it. People celebrating Valentine's Day, Christians celebrating Valentine's Day. Why? Because it makes them feel good. Why? Because they're looking for some love. But they're looking for love in all the wrong places. So, you know, let's go to, I want to start by, let's go into Mark 12 and 29, because we're going to show the Bible is the love book. You know, the Bible is the love book. You looking for the love doctor? Man, you've come to the right place, because the Bible is going to teach you, show you how this thing is done. Because people don't know. They don't know. They ain't got a clue. But the Bible's telling, the Bible going to tell you how to love your wife. The Bible going to tell you how to love your husband. The Bible going to tell you how to love your children. Your Bible's going to tell you how to love one another. The Bible's going to tell you how to love God. A lot of people, you don't love God, man. You love yourself. You love yourself. When it comes down to the hard choices between your lust and loving God, you choose you. I'm my lust. The Bible says thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, when it comes time, like the woman coming on to me, the woman came on to Joseph. Joseph broke out. She came on to me. She hitting on me. She having problems at home. I ain't want to do nothing. Then why'd you leave? No, she just kept coming after the third time. Hey, boy, you really strong, ain't you? After the third time, I ain't going to say no. No, you're an adulterer. So let's read Mark 12 and 29, brother. And once again, right, the Messiah is going to speak again and teach us a thing or two. And I think it's
time. All right. What's that? Okay, here we go. Mark 12:29. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.
Hear, O Israel, and the Lord our God is one Lord. And there's a reason why he's saying that, because there's so many gods that's on the earth. It have to be stated again and again. There's only one God that we're supposed to serve. Okay? Read on. And he's one. He's not multifaceted in anything you can want to be. There's not 100 ways to heaven, 100 ways to God. There's one way. Go ahead.
All right, verse 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment.
And thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. This is the first commandment. So let's read the second one, and then we go into the how-to. Go ahead.
All right. 31. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. there is none other commandment greater than these.
So there's no other commandments greater than these. So the first one, Abaja, how do we show love to the Most High God? How do we love him? Hug him. Well, is he, we going to give him a hug? Send him a Valentine's Day card. Lord, I love you. You're going to get that Valentine's card and give it to your preacher. Oh, sorry. Some people are. Some people are with their pastor. Go give him a Valentine's card. But how do we do it? I mean, what does the Bible say on how we show love towards the Heavenly Father?
Well, there's a couple of places we can go, but I'm going to go to St. John 15:9.
Come on.
And because there's a few places I'm looking, but that was the first one that came to oh, here we go. Never mind. Let me back it up a little bit because it's all through St. John. I'm just going to for the sake of time. Here we go. St. John chapter 13, St. John 14 and 15. And it says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. So right off the bat, he gave us the two greatest commandments. And he comes right back and says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. So it's going to show you that the love is going beyond just a feeling. Oh, yes, I love the Lord. And, you know, and they get to raise the spirit up in the church and the hands go up and the head go down and the tears get to roll and the feet get to tapping and everything. Folks get to falling out. I feel the spirit. No. The Lord said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. So it just goes right back and reinforces what we read in Mark about loving the Heavenly Father with all of our heart, mind, and soul and strength, and that being the first commandment, and the second being that we like it about loving our neighbor as ourselves. So love is an action. And when he says, keep my commandments, you know, it just goes on. The Ten Commandments is basically a summation. Mm-hmm. But if you love the Heavenly Father, then we're going to keep his word and not make
excuses. Oh, wait, hold on now. Wait. I thought the Lord's love was unconditional.
Well, that's if it's a conditional.
The Lord you can't lie.
He said if.
He don't need you to do nothing. Yeah, if means a condition. There's a condition on this thing. Just like, you know, you get what a woman's like, romance without no finance is a damn nuisance, you know?
Mm-hmm.
How the woman get with you, and now she got to come and pick you up and take you out.
Mm.
You're going to be talked about. So there's some conditions or things that you should show. Love is something that love is active. It's a doing. It's something that you do.
Yeah.
It's something that you feel, but it's something that you do, okay, according to the Bible. So if you love the Lord, you're going to keep his commandments. Okay? So let's go to Exodus 20. And let's read some of the commandments that apply to the Lord.
Exodus 20. Here we go. Exodus 20 and 1. I'm going to just go straight to the point. Exodus 20 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
It says, thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Okay, let's stop there. What's today?
Today is February 14th, it is a Saturday, which means it's the seventh day of the week. It's the Sabbath, according to the Bible.
It is the Sabbath, but most people are going to be out doing their own thing, doing their own business. They know nothing about the Sabbath, but they celebrate Valentine's Day. They got their missus or whoever, their boyfriend, girlfriend, which the scriptures don't speak about boyfriend, girlfriend. The scriptures speak about marriage. That's another word that people are afraid of. Why won't you marry me? Because you already gave him the cookie. You gave the cookies away, right?
the cookies, the jar, the crumbs, and everything else.
Yeah, she took my whole check of child support. Why? Because you wasn't looking for a godly woman. You was looking for that Valentine. That's what you're looking for. Looking for love in all the wrong places. First of all, the first commandment was, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Valentine's Day is about other gods. It's not about Saint Valentine. No, it ain't about that. What is it about? It's about the Lupercalia. The Lupa who? I ain't never heard of that. Of course you haven't. Because that's what Satan is. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He told you it was about love. You heard on the news it was about love. You heard on the TV it was about love. You heard in the schoolhouse it was about love. You even heard it in the church it was about love. And they all lied. They all lied. Because love, they tell you about what love is in the scriptures. So if you love God, you can't have any gods before you. So we're in the scriptures. And I'm not even, we've done so many shows on Valentine's Day. I'm not going to go into it. Google it. Google the origin of it. That's your job. You go and do some research. It is about other gods. It's about fertility rights. And you see the little butt-naked angel with wings and a heart, Cupid? Who is that? Who is Cupid?
That's a little fat baby that be going around shooting people in the butt with heart-shaped arrows.
Let's just read about Cupid. Okay, here we go. It says in classic mythology.
I'm talking about Cupid.
I'm going to talk about him. In classic mythology, Cupid, Latin, Cupido, meaning desire, is the god of desire. Is the god of desire, erotic love, attraction, and affection. He is often portrayed as the son of the love goddess Venus. Wait, read that scripture again. Brother, please. Please.
This is Exodus 20:3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
So what? You see this? People have put it on the card. Cupid. Cupid. See, Cupid also has another name. Okay? It's called Eros. And Eros is where you get the word. Wait for it.
Erotic.
For it. Erotic. 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 Okay? That's where you get it from. That's that old freaky love. You are your freaking on the weekend. I want to get erotic. Eros. It says ancient Greek love, mostly of the sexual passion, is one of the four words in ancient Greek which can be rendered into English as love, or the other three are storge, philophy, and agape. So, it's not the love that the scripture is talking about. This is talking about the love as far as how their gods, these other gods, the ancient Greek god of love, identified by the Romans with Cupid, a winged figure of a child representing love or the power of love, physical love, sexual desire, the libido. Let's go to Jeremiah 10, bro. So this is what a lot of people, you caught up into it, and you're under a spell. You're under a satanic spell, because if you do not get those flowers, candy, gift, and it's especially for men, especially for men. If you didn't come home, if you didn't have those flowers today or yesterday, you were going to be in some serious problems.
You ain't showing your love.
It don't matter how many times you paid the rent. It don't matter how many times you were there before. If you fail at this one day, will your woman forgive you?
Nope.
Will your woman forgive you? I want people to call in and speak about their Valentine's Day experience or their Valentine's Day failures. Okay, the guest call-in number is 646 716-774-9. We want to hear what you have to say. Okay? Do you think this is a biblical holiday? Do you think you could get away without giving your significant other that Valentine's Day gift? Might as well be Halloween, because it's the same. It's a pagan holiday. Got nothing to do with the scriptures, ain't got nothing to do with Jesus Christ. That nothing to do with the Bible. So read that, Jeremiah 10.
All right. You want to start at 2?
Start from verse 1.
All right. Jeremiah 10 and 1. Mm-hmm. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel.
You see that a lot in the scriptures where the Lord is saying, hear, because people don't listen. Especially the Israelites, the most hard-headed, stiff-necked, rebellious people that ever walked the earth, listen to nothing. We're telling you, showing you what love is, and people, you know what they're going to do? They're going to reject it, like it was us that we said it. That's why you have to read from verse 1. Hear ye what? Read it again.
All right. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel.
Hear ye the word of Abijah. Is that what it said?
No. It says, hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house
of Israel. Hear ye the word that Gadawan speaks to you. Read it again.
Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you.
You know, some people in their house smoking a blunt, like who that? They have no regard, no fear for the Lord. That's why they continue to do these things. But anyway, we're going to do our job faithfully. Read on. And whether people hear, whether they're forbear, whether it's one listener, two listener, three, we're going to do our job. Go ahead.
All right. Verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them.
Right. Learn not the way of the heathen. So, wait a minute. When you look, didn't it say that this was, you know, one of the gods of Rome, one of the gods of Greeks, one of the gods of the Greeks? Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So these are their ways. This is not the ways of the Most High. This is not the ways of Christ. Now, whole Valentine's Day, this is the way of the heathens, man. You're not going to find that in the scriptures. You're not going to find the gift giving and cards and stuff. They did that in ancient times. Little boys and girls exchanged cards, and they had sex as children. You better look that thing up, man. You letting your child, you doing it, they're not having sex, whatever. But that was the ritual. It's a sexual ritual. It's a sex ritual. It's a sex ritual. You can't tell me this thing does not inspire sexual relations. Tell me it doesn't inspire sexual relations. And I'll call you a damn liar. Because we just read it. You're going to have Cupid, Eros, what are they? Sexual desire. That's what it's about. It's a sex ritual, sexual ceremony based around a sexual god. It doesn't have anything to do with the Heavenly Father in Christ. It doesn't have anything to do with love according to the scriptures. So the first hurdle, people fail. Because you going in and you're taking up the rites and the rituals of another god. You failed it. You failed just there. So you're not really showing, you're not showing love towards the Heavenly Father by doing the rites and rituals of these other gods. You can't. There's nothing you can say that, well, we is cleaned up, it's for my loved one. No, you can't say that. Because you got 364 days of the year to get your wife some flowers. You got 364 days of the year. Why didn't you get them then? That's when people get this flower. Like, why only get flowers on this day? This day that's set up and appointed. You ain't thinking about me no other time? Love is something that's supposed to be shown daily. That's why so many people be hurting, waiting for this day to get some kind of affection or love shown towards them. To get a flower, to get a candy, to get a sweet, to get a hug, to get a kiss, to get a kind word. These things are supposed to be that you're supposed to express daily. Kindness is something you're supposed to express daily. Not something you're supposed to wait for. Anticipate, oh man, the only time my husband going to show me any kind of love and kindness is on Valentine's Day. Only time a woman going, you know, she's going to get free in the bed is Valentine's Day and my birthday. Let me show you something on that state. That might be fan fictional. And some people say, no, that doesn't happen like that. But I'm going to show you what the scripture says you're supposed to get from your wife. Okay? Not girlfriend. You're not supposed to have a girlfriend. You want the cookie? You got to take the cookie and the cookie jar. You got to marry her. Okay? Let's go to Proverbs, the 5th chapter. I'm going to show you. The Bible talking about love. Y'all know this Bible. People going out. Y'all know this Bible. People going out and celebrate Valentine's Day. You don't know the Bible, man. Proverbs 5:19. Let me show you something. Going to show you the Bible talking about love, bro.
Proverbs 5:19.
start from 18, so we know who we're talking about. So we all know right. Who we're talking about here.
Man, I would say start at 15. But, okay, so we're going to start at 18. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth.
Rejoice with the wife of your enemies. Look, arguing, fussing, fighting every day. Rejoice. You're supposed to be happy with your wife. Go ahead. Read on.
All right. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times and be thou ravished always with her love.
No, brother, just one day on your birthday, Valentine's Day. What did it say?
It says,
come on now, wait a minute. This the Bible? This the Bible?
Yes, brother.
Brother, man, you sure this is the Bible? Tell them what book you
yeah,
in.
I'm in the book of Proverbs, chapter 5, and this is verse 19. It says, let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love.
So you're looking for one day. You're looking for one day, 2 days, 3. Scripture says what? Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and always be ravished with her love.
Oh, Lord.
One, 2 days, my wife get freaking, you know. See, you don't know the Bible, man. You don't know. Let's go to hit it in our Hebrews 13:4, brother.
Mm-mm.
This Bible will tell you about love. Who you supposed to love? No, the Bible talking about breasts. We talking about
ain't no it. Ain't no breasts in the Bible. What book some boys read?
We're reading King James Version. All right? Reading from the King James Version of the Bible. Yes, we are.
Oh, man. My side hurt. Oh, man. Okay. Hebrews 13:4.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge.
So marriage is honorable in all. You know, a lot of people, like I said, because iniquity has abound, the love of many is wax cold. So a lot of people, they identify sex with love, and that's not true. That's a satanic delusion. You may feel good for that moment, but when that moment passes, then you need a replacement. It's almost like an addiction. That's what people have, sex addiction, because they want that feeling. They want that feeling. So you get married, and then you have that person that's close to you, that love you, that will hold you, that will kiss you, that will give you that emotional love, that physical love, that spiritual love, that will empathize with you, that will be with you on a rainy day. So it says marriage is honorable and all in the bed undefiled. Meaning what you do in the bed between you and your wife, ain't no problems because y'all married. So what you do with the breasts, that y'all married. That's they. Nobody business.
That boy said again. That boy said that B word again, talking about breastfasts.
But on a more serious note,
mm-hmm.
when the one of the first scriptures we read, when the Lord said, "Thou shalt love God with all thy heart, mind, soul, strength," it went down the line. That was the first commandment for everyone, man, woman, child, everything.
Yes.
And people don't understand when the individual has that love for the Heavenly Father for themselves, when they come together in the union of marriage, that already sets the foundation, that sets the ground rules, that sets the template as far as how people are supposed to conduct themselves and the rules of engagement. And you ain't just allowed to make up your own thing and do your own thing. It's going to show you how to love your husband or your wife and how to love your children and your brother and sister.
Mm-hmm. So let's go back to saying that. Let's go back to Exodus 20 and 3 and just read on down.
Exodus 20.
I see in the comment in the chat room, somebody wrote thugs get killed. And that's true. And matter of fact, That word thug is going into thuggy, which is a worship of another god. So you got our people, they're trying to be thugs. That's the worship of another god. Because that's what people would do. It's one of those Indian gods, thuggy. They would go and they would assassinate and murder people to their gods. So our people have taken that up, like, I want to be a thug. I want to be a gangster. So what is that? That's one of those satanic gods, one of those evil gods that's not the God of the Bible. So anyone that follows that, that's into that spirit, that's right. You will get killed living that kind of lifestyle.
Mm.
So let's read Exodus 20, some more of these commandments that apply to the Lord.
All right. Exodus 20 and 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth.
Go ahead.
Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments.
There's that word again, commandments. So who is the Lord going to have mercy on? Those that love him. And how are they going to show that love? By keeping his commandments, by doing what he says, by being obedient. So there you go, no other gods, and then it's just going into idolatry, okay? Idolatry, we're not supposed to put anything before the Heavenly Father. And that means wife, husband, they're not supposed to come before the Heavenly Father's word. Well, you don't love me and give me a flower. Baby, I paid the rent. This, I'm here for you. When you cry, you were sick, cooked dinner, did this. How is that not love? Well, you didn't give me no flowers in one day. You don't love me. And that's where it's going down for a lot of people. You know, if you try to say, well, look, I'm not doing this anymore because it's the worship of other gods, you may be divorced in a few weeks. Just because you did not get those flowers. You could do everything else under the sun. Be kind to your woman. Never beat her, never hit her, never curse her, never call her out her name. Don't get those flowers. See, this is a powerful thing. People are not recognizing the power that this day has because it's satanic and it's evil. So it's evil to get my woman flowers, man. You crazy. That's what a lot of people say. That's what a lot of people say when we say Christmas is not December the 25th. And we say, well, it is. That's Jesus' birthday. That's Jesus' birthday at Christmas. Okay, so let's open up in the Bible. Show me where he's born on December 25th, please. Well, I can't show you. Yeah, everybody knows it's pagan. Sorry? What did you just say? Mm-hmm. Everybody knows it's pagan. Then why the hell are you celebrating it then? Oh, well, you know, I got to get my wife a gift. It's for the kids. So you, your kids, and your wife are going, as the old folks say, going to bust hell wide open. No, Jesus wouldn't do that. We telling you what he's going to do. How you going to know what Jesus is going to do? Jesus, what he say he's going to do, what's in the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep reading.
But, hey, you know the funny thing about it, though?
Yes.
Now, you just went down a list where a man can basically handle his responsibilities as a man regarding his household and his woman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, as far as, you know, hey, you know what? I take care of all the bills. I handle the business. You don't want for nothing. You ain't lacking nothing. Whatever you feel like you want to do, you know, you pretty much can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And not getting something on one day negates all of that. But guess what? It works backwards, too. It works the other way. Because you got plenty of dudes that knock their woman, girlfriend, whatever, have you upside the head. And even if they don't go into physical abuse, they'll still go into domestic abuse as far as mentally, just by the way they treat their so-called significant other. Okay? They'll cheat on them, the whole thing. But what? I can make it up on Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
I can negate all of the harm that I did and just make this one day just special and just go overboard. And that's just going to make up for it, and she'll forgive me. I can just use this to start off, you know, fresh, so to speak, and then go right back to doing the same thing. Yeah, try to use it to atone. Right? You're not dealing with you.
Exactly. How about not waiting for Valentine's Day not to go upside her head? How about that?
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing. That's the thing that we're talking about. And let's keep going, because what we're saying is that people don't know what love is. So they're fed by this world, and we know the person that's behind the world is Satan. He's the prince and the power of the air. He's the one that's ruling. So when you turn on the TV, they're telling you about love. They're not going to tell you about the love that's in the scriptures. They're not going to tell you about that. They're going to tell you about Eros, Cupid, the agape love. Okay, that's all going into that satanic love. It's false. It's fake. It doesn't last. And that's what they tell you. Nothing lasts forever. Nothing lasts forever. Your relationship is not going to last forever. That's not just how the world is made. That's foolishness. That's foolishness. You know, I'm kind 1 minute, and you know, I just fell out of love with you. Love is the keeping of the commandments. That's what it is. Love is the keeping of the commandments. So if I love God, I'm not going to worship any other gods but him. If I love God, I'm not going to put anything above him. I'm not going to make an idol. I'm not going to have an idol. I'm not going to idolize anybody and take their word as law. So read on.
Mm-mm-mm. All right. So we're in Exodus. I'm still in chapter 20. And now I'm at verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain.
You're not supposed to swear in the Lord's name. I swear to God. This is what's going to happen in God's name. In God's name, this is what's going to happen. You're not supposed to take the Lord's name in vain. Read on.
Mm-hmm. All right. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
When
six
is that?
Days.
I guess it's going to tell us.
It says, go ahead. Sunday. God, it was changed to Sunday, see?
Exodus 20:8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates.
Hmm. Go ahead.
I read on. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
Okay, let's look at the definition of the seventh day. It says, designating certain Christian denominations that make Saturday their chief day of rest and religious observance. Okay, so Saturday, let's look up the definition of Saturday. Saturday, the seventh day of the week following Friday. So, is this the day we're supposed to rest, or is it Sunday?
This is the day.
So if we love God, then what are we going to do?
We're going to rest. We're going to sit you behind down so much.
We're going to keep the day. We're going to keep the day. We're going to keep the day. The Sabbath was made for man. Man wasn't made for the Sabbath. So what does that mean? People say that the Sabbath was made for man. Man wasn't made for the Sabbath. Like, okay, it's not something for you to observe. It means it's a day for you to rest. You've been working hard all day, all the week long, and you just crying and thank God it's Friday. You looking for the weekend, then talk about, I don't need no day to rest. You a damn lie. You need a day to rest. And God gave you a day of rest, but you're like, I don't need it. So you don't love God. See, God loves us, but often so many times we show that we do not love him. In our actions, in our deeds. People talk, I love the Lord. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. But when it comes to your actions and deeds, you deny him. You deny him. Just like today, Valentine's Day. It's about love. Where is the love for the Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ? Where is the love for his word? Where is it? Because reading what love is. You love God, he said, keep my commandments. The commandment says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Here you got this Cupid-inspired, Eros erotic, inspired, butt-naked baby. How you put a butt-naked baby on a greeting card? If you got a butt-naked baby on your computer, if it ain't your baby, guess what that is? You're going to jail. You see how twisted everything? Oh, this is about a greeting card. Right. The next man has a butt-naked baby, you going to, what you doing with that baby on you? The world is twisted, man. It's not straight. It's deceiving. It's deceitful. People are confused. They're drawn in by their emotions, their feelings, their hurt, their pain. And I understand a lot of people. I remember I was talking to someone about Valentine's Day. And I'm there spreading the gospel, good news. Like, look, this is what the love is. And, you know, Valentine's Day, that's one day, you know. The love that we get from the Heavenly Father is every day. The love that we're supposed to show towards one another is every day. Every day we're supposed to be kind to one another. Every day we're supposed to have a kind word or a good word for one another. Every day we're supposed to exhort one another. That's every day. And she's like, I'll do anything for those flowers. I'm like, damn. She said she would do anything. Brother, listen to me. She said she would do anything for those flowers. Why? Because nobody was showing her that love. And people that you get in love from your spouse, you got to show love towards God. It's like, well, I get love, but, you know, I enjoy the flowers. It's a little extra, you know, extra on top. You should be ashamed of yourself because you're making, people are making choices. See, these are the last days where choices are going to be made. Choice is going to be made. It's going to be open. It's going to be public. Whether you love the Heavenly Father or not, or you're going to take up Satan's side. That's what the mark of the beast is going to be about. Ain't going to be no microchip or no credit card chip. There's a credit in your barcode. That is lies and deceit. It's going to be you accepting it publicly and openly. I accept the mark of the beast. I will serve Satan. That's what it's going to be. And those that say, well, I'm going to serve the Lord, guess what? They're going to have their heads cut off. You say you're going to serve Jesus, you're going to say you're going to keep the Bible, you're going to be put to death. That's what's going to come in these last days. And a lot of people, you already set and prepped to take the mark of the beast. Because evil, they're making evil good and good evil. People are going to be burning their Bibles, throwing them away, and like God ain't nothing in their life. It's going to come to, see, the scripture says what was written aforetime was written for our learning, that we, through comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. These things have already happened in the past to Christians. I guess people, see, they had the London riots over here, bro. And when they had the London riots and riots over here and other places, other cities in the UK, guess what? Bookstores were untouched by Negroes. Bookstores were untouched, unblemished. Unblemished, brother. When I say unblemished, I mean they were in pristine, could we just roll up the gates? Bookstore fine. Ignorance is so heavy out there. And there's such a lack for the word of the Most High because people don't want to change their life. People don't want to deny themselves. And this is the time where everything, you can fulfill any lust that you want to. It's just open, you know. Man, I don't have a wife. Man, I'm going to get a bride from damn China or Russia or whatever. I'm lonely. I'll buy a bride. And, you know, there's multitudes of worse things you could do on the internet that's just so readily available. So wickedness is growing in the earth. Just as the time of Noah was, where wickedness was exceedingly high on the earth, that's what time it is now. It's growing. Wickedness is increasing and increasing and increasing and increasing. And the true love of God is on a decline. There's not that many. There's only a few that say, I'm going to love the Heavenly Father no matter what. What, no Valentine's Day? That can go because I'm going to love God. What, no Christmas? What, that's pagan? I'm a love God. What's this, Easter? What's that about bunny egg and rabbits and stuff? Fertility God? Man, I'm a love God. I'm going to keep the Passover. Look how many things is fighting against the scriptures in the Most High. There's loads of things. Loads of things. Loads of things. Loads of things. But let's go back to Mark 12 and 30. Because now, the four commandments, the Ten Commandments, see, Christ broke it down into two. He broke the ten into two. So, four of those commandments apply to the love of God. And see, that's a summary, okay? A summary is like a brief comprehension or brief understanding of the whole. There's more commandments that deal with the love of God and deal with, like, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. There's other commandments that deal with the Sabbath. There's other commandments or statutes or substatutes that deal with not taking the name of the Lord in vain and idolatry. There's many scriptures that speak about idolatry. There's many stories that deal with idolatry, how people dealt with idols and how the Most High deal with them and how it was a cursed thing. There's many scriptures that deal with that, but Christ just gave us a brief understanding so we could understand the whole thing. We could briefly comprehend it. Didn't have to read from Genesis to Revelation. Look, you love God? You're not going to worship the other God. You love God? You're not going to see the little statue of Mary and the baby Jesus, so-called, or their representation, a likeness, because that ain't them. Mm-hmm. You know what? Bow down to it. People got carried on soldiers through parades and stuff like that. No, man, that's an idol. That ain't them. That ain't Jesus, and that ain't Mary. I'm not bowing down to that. I'm not praying to that. Why? Because if you love God, you won't do that. Oh, it's just religion. You right in religion, because Moses did not get the 10 religions. He got the 10 commandments. So read that back in Mark 12, bro.
He said 12 and
30.
All right. Mark 30. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God.
Boom. There
and
we go.
No man, and no man durst ask him any question.
So if you love God and you love your neighbor, you're not far from the kingdom of God. So the second part, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to go into how you're supposed to love your neighbor, how you're supposed to love your children, how you're supposed to love your spouse. What does the Bible say? So stay tuned. This is Kings and Priests, Valentine's Day. Where is the love?
Howdy. So I this way, please. Certainly, sir, but we might get a little bit of traffic on our way down.
No problem.
I need love.
Money can't buy me love.
Body of Christ Church Radio Network broadcasts 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. Listen to our archive broadcasts or check us out while we are live on the air. Come and visit us in the virtual living room at 2 o'clock p.m. on Sundays, where we examine current topics according to the scriptures. Are you looking for the truth? Can you handle the truth? Find out on Mondays at 8 o'clock p.m. It doesn't matter what church you attend or philosophy you believe, take the challenge to see, are you smarter than your pastor, on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock p.m. The world is engrossed in darkness, but it shall be destroyed by the light. Check out From Darkness to Light at 7 o'clock p.m. on Wednesdays, where all manner of witchcraft, occult practices, and Satanism is exposed for what it is. Before the light comes, it's time to awake on Thursdays at 8 o'clock p.m. If you are seeking salvation, listen to Repentance is the Key, Fridays at 7 o'clock p.m. And after you've listened to all of these shows, find out how we will become kings and priests, Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock a.m. All shows are on Eastern Standard Time. Remember to check out the Body of Christ Church 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. That's blogtalkradio.com/THEBOCC. Shalom.
Like a moth to a flame burned by the fire. My love is blind, can't you see my desire?
That's the way love goes.
I'd like to welcome back Kings and Priests. Valentine's Day. Where's the love gone? Where's the love? So we're talking about the love according to the Bible. Love according to the scriptures. Because there is a lack of love in the world. Love, neighborly love, and kindness. So we got to show that love, how the true love, according to the scriptures. You got to do Janet Jackson talking about that's how love go. How does love go according to the scriptures, Abaja?
Well, we read it earlier when the Lord told us that we have to love the Heavenly Father with every fiber of our being, and we also have to love our neighbor as ourselves.
So let me ask you a question. I'm sleeping with your woman. I love you.
You said what now?
If I'm sleeping with your woman, if I'm sleeping with your woman, am I showing you brotherly love or brotherly kindness?
No, that's hatred, according to the Bible. That's adultery and hatred.
Let's go to 1 John 3:15. 18. The Bible is going to show us how love goes, how love is shown.
All right. So where you want to get in 1 John?
1 John 3:18.
All right, here we go. 1 John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth.
Let us not love in what?
Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth.
You know, I never love none of those other hoes. It's just you that I love. Why you with another woman if you in love with this woman? Oh, he didn't mean nothing to me. He was just a friend. I was alone. You worked all the time. But I love you, baby. I just love you. No, you don't. Let us not love in word. Let us not love in word, neither in tongue. So it's not about what you say. What does the next part say about you?
It says, but in deed and in truth.
But in deed and in what?
In truth.
In truth. So it's about what you do and how you do it. Some people are going to get those flowers, but they're not going to be happy about it. Some people are going to get those flowers. Some people are going to get that candy. Some people are going to get a ring, necklace, all that. But the person that give it to them, they're going to be happy. I got to spend every year spending this kind of money on this woman. She ain't going to be happy. She don't see the stuff that I be doing every day. The man show again, yeah, baby, I love you. But is that what's in his heart? What's in his heart? What's in her heart? Baby, I love you. You kissing some man, you kissing somebody's other, yeah. We ain't going to say it because it's a Christian program. You kissing somebody else's thing. Talking about, baby, I love you, Valentine's Day. You know Tom was around there early this morning. Let's keep it real. People don't want to keep it real because Valentine's Day is about erotic love, is about passions, about sex. It ain't got nothing to do with the scriptures. Doesn't have anything to do with Christianity. Doesn't have anything to do with Jesus Christ. Doesn't have anything to do with the Bible, because the Bible is telling you what the love is. The Bible is telling you that you're supposed to love your husband, love your wife every day. Get that Proverbs 5 again. People don't understand. This is the people, on the show. They don't know, or they haven't heard what this Bible is about. They don't know, they haven't heard what this Bible teaches about love. This Bible teaches about you're not supposed to hold back loving or physical love from your spouse. Oh, you didn't know the Bible said that? See, that's the next part we got to get into the love of your neighbor. You love your neighbor as yourself. You apply that to your wife. You apply that to your children. You apply that to your husband. You got it?
Yep.
Either for the good
Proverbs
people, man, or the people, because the Lord said nobody's good. We're all sinners. We're all trying to make it, and we can make it because Christ showed the way. If we follow and be obedient to his word, we can make it, man. We can have life. And life more abundantly, and that means we can have more love in our life. And really, I think that's what people are really looking for. That's why they look for a Valentine, because they're looking for love in their life. They've been hurt, or their heart's been broken. Well, Christ, he's the one that's come to heal the brokenhearted. says that in the scriptures. But let's read this. We're going to get that later, but let's read this, brother.
All right. Coming back to Proverbs chapter 5, and I'm starting at verse 18. It says, "Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth.
Mm-hmm.
Let her be as a loving hind and pleasant roe."
Your wife is not supposed to say it. Your wife is not supposed to be a grump, the nag. You call it a bee. You call out there, man, I don't want to go home. Man, as soon as I get through the door, she going to complain about something. That's not the way a woman is supposed to be with her husband. So be as a loving hind, a loving roe. She's supposed to be loving. When you go through the door, she's supposed to be loving. Not, oh, where were you? You late. You 5 minutes. You supposed to be home. You always working all the time. This, that's not how your wife's supposed to be. I'll give her his flowers. Maybe she shut up. Go ahead, brother. Read it.
Happy wife, happy life. Mm-hmm. And where all the other sayings come from. 19. Let her be as a loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love.
People going to grab their Bible right now. It's like, that ain't in the Bible. Let her what?
It says, let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love.
Yeah. You're supposed to have a loving wife every day. Thus saith the Lord. You're supposed to have a loving wife every day. Every day. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Or you could have Valentine's Day. I'ma keep what the Lord is saying. All right? I'ma keep what the Lord is saying here. Okay? Now people are always screaming, well, what about the man? What about the man? What about the man? What about the man? Okay. Okay, let's give him something about the man. What's the Lord saying about the man? What the man supposed to do for the woman? Let's go to Ephesians.
Mm-hmm.
Ephesians 5:28.
Now wherever you want to go. Actually, 25. All right.
We'll go back to the wife, but let's start from 25.
All right, Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it.
Right. So it's telling you to love your wife. Now, baby, I love you. Baby, I love you. You know I love you. You know I love you. I didn't love her, but I love you. No. Husband, love your wife. If you love your wife, okay. Let's go to 2 John and the 6th verse. Because we need to show how love is defined according to the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
We need to show what love is according to the scriptures, not according to this world, because Christ has nothing in this world. So whatever this world say that love is, Christ has nothing in it. He's just dealing with the word of his Father. And if we're following Christ, the anointed Savior, the Messiah, the Mashiach, as some would say, we have to follow what he's saying. We have to follow his words. So read.
All right, 2 John 6. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments.
And this is love. You can't tell me what love is, just what I think love is. No, it don't matter. It matters what God says that love is, what the Bible says. And this is love. That we do what?
That we walk after his commandments.
Because love is something we do, it's not something we say. You can say it, but it doesn't mean anything unless you do it. Love, not in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So love is that we walk after the commandments. So husbands, love your wife. Do you love your wife if you're beating her? You love
Mm-mm.
You loving her?
No.
Do you love your wife if you laying with another woman?
No.
Hell, you love your wife if you laying with another man.
Really no.
Some husbands got a man. They're in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because all those things is fornication, it's adultery. If you love your wife, you're not going to lie on her, you're not going to abuse. All the things it says in the commandments, you're going to apply those things. You're not going to speak evil of her. A lot of people speak in evil of their wife. Evil. You're like, well, who is that? That's Charles Manson's girlfriend? Who you married? That's your wife? How you get her? Oh, you looked at her booty. You married the booty. You didn't marry a woman. You didn't marry someone with a mind. You married the booty. Now the booty stank. Because it needs to be washed and cleansed by the blood. Husbands, love your wives. And it tells you how even equal as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So that's the ultimate love, that a man would lay down his life for his brother. That's how you're supposed to love your wife. That's a lot of loving. That's a lot of loving. If you love your wife like Christ loved the church, you're going to be upset with her just off of whim. Oh, you didn't watch it. This is, I'm tired of you. This is, every night, come here. You're going to be patient. You're going to be kind. You're going to have long suffering. You're going to have understanding. You're going to teach her. You're going to nourish her. Husbands, love your wives like how? What's the example? How am I supposed to love my wife? What is there to show me? Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's far above flowers, candy, diamonds, and rings. You would give your life. And that's demonstrated on how you treat her every day. On a daily basis. On a daily basis. You exhort her. You encourage her. You hold her hand. When she crying, you dare to comfort her. Like, man, she crying, I ain't comforting that. Even as Christ loved the church and gave his life, was hanged on a tree, crown of thorns in his head, and he did nothing wrong. He said, I'll take the blame for them. I'll be the scapegoat. I'll be the one that take the pain and the shame of their sins. Yeah, man, they won't. Wife do one thing wrong, man, they're trying to get rid of them. You burnt the rice. You know what? Get the hell out. Tina, she do good rice and peas and planting and lamb. Pack your stuff and get out. Burning rice in here. That's why Christ had to come and teach on divorce, man. And y'all get divorced for anything. You unless your wife commit fornication, you divorcing her, you going wrong, man. Does the Old Testament, they're divorcing their wife for any old thing. I don't like it no more. My feet fat. Get out. You're supposed to love your wife. And so much, if the bullet was coming, you're gonna say, take me, Jesus, instead of her, and mean it.
I think we lost you.
Read on.
Okay. You still want Ephesians or you want
Ephesians? We're going to Ephesians.
All right, so we're back in Ephesians. And this is Ephesians 5. And I'm going to start back at verse 25.
Mm-hmm.
It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it.
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish.
Mm-hmm.
So now,
you know what?
Here we go.
You know what that makes that was a, that makes me think of? You know, men get involved with women, and then they're married. And as time goes on, the woman didn't tell you everything that was going on in her life. She didn't tell you how many men she slept with. She didn't tell you, you know, she was a whore. She's ashamed and she's embarrassed. But as you deal with her in the spirit of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, these things begin to peel away. And then she's honest and she opens up to you. A lot of men can't take that. But when Christ met the adulterous woman, what did he do? What did he do about you?
He said, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more.
Right, he forgave her. So like people be judging women for things they did in the past. They hurt and, you know, then they open up to you. You're supposed to be the closest person to them in their life, their husband. Like, well, I did this, I did that. Damn, you was a hoe. I don't want to be with you no more. Well, that was the past. I'm just telling you, no, I'm trying to get my life right. That's what we're supposed to help our wives through the word of Christ to heal, to mend, and to be right. As we try and live our lives to be right with the Heavenly Father in Christ, we're supposed to help them to be right with the Heavenly Father in Christ. We're not supposed to be judging them on things they've done in the past. We're supposed to help them to heal from the things that they've done in the past. Because a lot of men out there, they have daughters, they're not performing the way they mad anymore. Like, not my responsibility. These little hoes, she go out there, be a hoe. That's it. No, we're supposed to have care of our daughter's body. What you wearing? Who you talking to? Who's that boy you talking to? No, you ain't going on a date with him. You ain't going to eat. Who is daddy? Who is family? Oh, that's so backwards. You're trying to arrange a marriage. No, I want to know who my daughter talking to. Trying to get up in my daughter's pants. No, marriage is honorable. Are you going to marry her? Where your job? Where you working? Where you going to school? What degree you got? Oh, that's so ancient and backwards. Now when your daughter wind up a single mother and bringing the baby to you, is that ancient backwards now? The Bible is right. The Bible is right. This is the most powerful book on the planet. Okay? Jesus Christ did not raise an army to attack the Romans. Why did they crucify him? Because he was dangerous. All he spoke was the word. He spoke the word. And he was nonviolent. All he do was teaching the people to do what? To repent of their sins to God. Repent. Repent, for the kingdom of God of heaven is at hand. And we, over here in the UK, we went to jail. We went to jail just for saying the same thing. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know what? You laying down with your neighbor's wife? That's adultery. Put these people in jail. You know what? You celebrating Christmas? That's a pagan holiday. You know, the Lord says, thou shalt have no other gods before. Put these people in jail. They're mad. They're the devil. But going back, don't want to stray from the point. Love your wife. Help your wife. Verse 28.
So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself.
Right. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. What does that sound like? He that loveth his wife loveth himself. What does that sound like to you?
Basically, that goes into what the Lord said in the beginning about they twain shall be one flesh. You and your wife are one, and you're going to treat her the same way that you want to be treated.
Doesn't it sound like love your neighbor as yourself?
Mm-hmm.
But just dealing with a marriage now, it's the same thing. Love your neighbor as yourself. You don't want to be lied on? Don't lie on your wife. A lot of people lied on their wife. A lot of people lying on their husband. He did this, he did this, he did this. They call it exaggeration. It's a lie. It's a lie. He did it, well, it wasn't that bad. But to me, it was that bad. That's exaggeration. It's not what really happened. Taught men to love their wives as their own bodies. You take care of your body, you clothe your body. You're supposed to take care of your wife in the same way. You love yourself, you love your wife. You love yourself, you love your wife. 29, because I want to get to the wife before this is all said and done.
All right, 29. It says, no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church.
Nourish, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh. You like to eat food, live a good life. That's what you're supposed to offer for your wife. But nourish and cherish it, even as the Lord, the church. See, once again, it gives you an example because you're nourish and cherish. Like, well, this is how I nourish and cherish. No, there's an example. There's a measuring rod. There's a measuring stick to show you to what extent, even as the Lord, the church. You know what? This pimp ham slap, that's how I nourish and cherish. Well, the Lord never did that. The Lord never beat up, you know, women or the disciples. You know what? I'm going to show you this love. I'm going to whoop you. So it's still the standard is the scriptures. The standard is the Bible. The standard is the Lord. So we're supposed to nourish and cherish. When you nourish something, what are you doing, Abadja?
Hold on. I was looking for something. Say that one more time.
How do you nourish something?
Well, it's like, let's say you have a plant that you take care of. Let's look at it on a very basic level. That means that you're going to make sure that it has all of the things that it needs to grow and to survive. Whether it be sunlight, water, sometimes you might give it a little plant food or whatever. You'll pull off the dead leaves and stuff so that doesn't suck up all the nutrients, and the ones that are healthy, they can grow and flourish and everything. That's what you're going to do. You're going to tend to that thing. You're going to make sure that it has what it needs. So
yeah.
In a similar manner, because, you know, when you read through the Bible, a lot of times the Lord will, you know, use the example, you know, of, you know, trees or plants or whatever as, you know, to represent a man. But in that same manner, when it says that, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church, he gave you a much better example in how the Lord Jesus Christ nourishes and cherishes the church, meaning the ones that come and repent in his name. When you look at, number one, he gave his life for us. That was the ultimate sacrifice. But also his spirit, it dwells with us, and it's his spirit that's fending off the works of the flesh that wars within our bodies. All of the lusts and desires, the things that are contrary to the scriptures, it is his spirit. It ain't our own will. Because you got a lot of people in the world that are fighting and losing because they've relied on their own will, not understanding that it's the spirit of Jesus Christ that actually gives you the strength to fight the lust and to battle those things that are contrary to the commandments of the Lord. And that's on a daily basis. So the same way that the Lord does that for us, that's showing you the great responsibility that a man has towards his wife.
Yeah. You know, that nourish, it goes beyond just food, raiment, and clothing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to provide for your family. You're supposed to provide for your wife. Not that I'm not saying that a woman cannot have a job. I'm not saying that.
No.
Okay?
No.
But it's something that you should be looking to do. How can I care or take care of my wife? You know, she can have a job. She can have a better paying job than you. But still, you know, how are you going to take care of her? That's supposed to be in your mind. You know, how are we going to live? Where are we going to live? How I'm going to sustain, you know, make sure she's healthy, make sure, you know, I strengthen her, build her up, you know, not tear her down. See, you was a hoe back in the world. You was a whore. Oh, nasty hoe. I don't even know why I want to be with you. You lucky that you got me. You somebody. No, that's not what we're supposed to look. You know, that was the past. You know, Christ says, that we're new creations in Christ. That was old. You know, forget about that. We living in Christ now. You're supposed to build your wife up. You're supposed to strengthen her. Make her feel good. Not on Valentine's Day. This is every day. Exhort one another when?
Daily.
Daily. Daily. That's what the Bible says, man. Come on.
You know what? You know where that starts at, though? That starts, a lot of that starts with the man being the example and leading by example.
Yeah.
That's what the Lord did. The Lord led by example and is continuing to lead by example. That's why we have his word right here in the Bible. The man has to do the same thing. Now, say for instance, because I'm glad you brought that point up about she may make more money than him or she may have a better job.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at the scriptures, when it says two becoming one flesh, it ain't, well, this is my money and that's your money. Well, I run this. See, I wear the pants in the house. No, they twain shall become one flesh.
Mm.
So she might make more money than him, but they twain being one flesh, meaning that those are their resources that they're directing the house with. And the Lord already showed you how he was supposed to direct the house.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't got nothing to do with a paycheck.
Absolute, absolute.
And the man wouldn't feel intimidated by his woman making more money than him. Read Proverbs 31.
Mm-hmm.
So for all our listeners, go back and read Proverbs 31 about the virtuous woman in the Bible. And it'll show you that a woman of the Lord ain't barefoot, pregnant, and uneducated, and stupid, and just a baby-making machine.
Absolutely. that goes back. You have to say that. Why? Because that's some people's perception of what the scriptures are saying. A biblical woman is a powerful woman. She's a powerful woman. Mm-hmm. She's a smart woman. She's a fine, beautiful woman. She looks after herself because she's following Jesus. And I mean that no fun. It's a serious thing. You can't trick her. You can't fool her because she's following the Lord. She's handling business. She knows how to handle business and finance. She knows how to take care of our house. She knows how to take care of the children. Why? Because she's learning from other women that know how to do it, and they're teaching her. She's learning from her husband, who's encouraging her, who loves her, who supports her. This is the love of the scriptures. This is the love that people are missing. This is the love that people are looking for on Valentine's Day that they're not getting on a daily basis. See, you need this daily. When you nourish and cherish, if you don't nourish and cherish, you use the example of the plant, Abaja. You don't water that plant. You miss a day, 2 days, 3 days. What happens to that plant?
It begins
to wither because it's not nourished. It's not taken care of. See, that's what a lot of people think. We married now. I ain't got to do nothing special. Got to do nothing good. That's why people gravitate to Valentine's Day. Because it reminds you that you're supposed to do these things. But see, when you read the Bible is reminding you constantly, constantly, over and over and over and over and over again. But it's a mirror. It's showing us the evil things that we have to get rid of. And many people do not want to look at that mirror of themselves. They don't.
Mm-mm.
Because the Bible casts a perfect reflection of who you are. But it also shows us what we can be in Christ. And that is a good thing. But people are afraid of work. The Christians are afraid of that word work. See, there's no work you need to do. It's all faith. Okay, faith without works is dead. You ever read that? Brother, sister, pastor, evangelist, bishop, apostle. Faith without works. Yeah, you have to have faith. But if you don't have the works, it's dead. It's the same thing with love. You can say, baby, 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 I love you. Baby, I love you. I love you. I love you. Baby, I love you. But if there's no works, there's no show of love, then guess what? It's dead. So let's carry on in Ephesians, bro. I want to get to the wife before we wrap this thing up.
All right. So we're in Ephesians 5. You want to back up to
No, let's stay at 29. Keep going.
All right, Ephesians 5:29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. Verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and his bones.
Go ahead.
For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh.
So that's what we're talking about. There's no my money, your money, your money, my money.
Mm-hmm.
You're one flesh. You become one. You're so close in your relationship. There is no two separate entities anymore. There is no two separate minds. There's only one mind that's guided by the Heavenly Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. Go ahead.
And also, when it says the man leaving his father and his mother and joined into his wife, you ain't no mama's boy either, letting your mama run your household.
Mm-hmm. Well, well.
Your mama is your wife. Your mama is your wife and not your wife.
Ooh. Boy, you just brother, put away the salt.
No, no, we got to pull it out. No. Because, see, we have to touch this because you have a lot of mothers that are, they think that their son is their husband, you know, for whatever reason. And when the son actually finds a decent woman and he marries her and is trying to do right, the mother wants to step in and be like, no, I run this. No, you are my mother. I still have to honor you, but according to the scriptures, you don't come before my wife.
Well, it's not a mystery, Abaja. Why would she treat her son like a husband? Because she's missing that love that a husband's supposed to give to her. That care, that concern, that ear to listen to. Now when it's time for that man to be that to somebody else, is difficult to let go. It's difficult to let go. Because a lot of people think we're judging people. You know, we're not, the Lord is going to come and he's going to judge. He's going to judge the earth. We're here to show you a better way. We're here to show you and guide you to Christ. We're here to show you understanding. We're here to show you kindness. We're here to show you comfort. But we're also here to speak the truth. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. So, yes, we will pull out our sword, and yes, you will be cut, not by our words, but by the words of God. And that's what a good surgeon does. He goes in, he makes that surgical cut to cut out the cancer, to cut out disease. And the cancer disease that we got is called sin. That's what prevents us from having the good things that we so desire in our life. Because that's what Christ came to bring. He came to bring us life. In life more abundantly. People are looking for love, looking for sex or whatever. You can have that with a wife or a husband. But if you want it with 10 different individuals on different nights of the week, now we can't help you. We can't help you. All we can say is like, look, if you don't change, you shall have your part in the lake of fire. So let's read on. We've got about 20 minutes.
Right, and just real quick, the Bible can see again, this is going back into loving the Heavenly Father, as it was stated earlier, because when we find ourselves in certain situations, I don't have to stand up to somebody. I don't have to put my foot down. The Lord put his foot down. That's what the Lord says. So I ain't got to make up no rules about this, that, and the third. The Lord already set the rules. We just follow them.
Right.
So it ain't about I got to stand. You better stand up to your mama. Listen, the Lord stood up. All right. So anyway, and you go sit down somewhere. The Lord got this. I'm just executing. So verse 32, this is a great mystery. I'm still in Ephesians 5, and I'm in verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband.
And the wife see that she reverence her husband. See, this is a great mystery. This is a great mystery. It's a great mystery. But see, The Lord reveals the mysteries in the parables. But it is like, who that has an ear to hear, let him hear. So we're talking about where's the love. Valentine's Day is supposed to be about a day of love. But it's really not the love that's in the scriptures. It's the love, that erotic love, that Cupid love. That's what it's based upon. Lupercalia. That's what the day is about. Okay? Make no mistake. It's not about Christ. It's not about, oh, I'm showing the love of God. I'm showing charity, like it says in 1 Corinthians. No. You've been misled. You've been hoodwinked. You've been fooled. You've been tricked. Because that's what Satan does. You haven't learned the love of the scriptures. And this is what we're showing. What's the love of the scriptures? How you love the Lord. How do you love your neighbor? How do you love your wife? How do you love your husband? It says reverence. And see that the wife reverence. Reverence her husband.
That's a tall order.
Reverence. How do you reverence somebody? How is reverence shown? The base words of reverence is to revere. That means like to look at someone with awe, like it's like a deep respect, obvious. Like who is this man that I've married? Let's see that a wife reverence her husband. Respect. So many men are being disrespected by their wife. You know my clip I always play to show a woman disrespecting a man.
Ooh, you gonna play it?
Marcus!
You gonna play it? Oh, no, he ain't gonna play it.
I haven't got it.
What the hell with you, Marcus? What the hell with TV?
That's the opposite.
Can you be a man?
Of reverencing.
Marcus!
Reverencing. Yo, see, now we're gonna have to get it and play it. I can't find it.
We short on time. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. But this song, I remember this song. I can't remember who it was done by. Angie Stone.
It was done by
Angie Stone. And she's speaking about how she loves the man, this and this and that. And there's not a lot of that that's in the world. Let me see if I can find it.
The song is called Brother.
All right. You know what?
What's that?
Let's see if we can get it. We can play it, because that just goes into a little bit of the reverence. Then we're going to build. I want you to go back and let's start from Ephesians 5:22. I was going to play some of this song by Angie Stone, dealing with reverence. What does it sound like? Because people need an example. They need. Let's just listen. Come home to. Not you ain't nothing, you ain't nothing, you ain't never gonna be nothing. Comfort, understanding, looking like this is my man, he's my king, you know. Wait a minute. Abaja.
Mm-hmm.
She said that Angie said that he was a king. Now, what in the scriptures kind of like resemble that? No, I ain't calling no man. He ain't my king. He ain't nothing. Do the scriptures agree? Bro, that ain't right.
No good. You just like your damn daddy.
So that was Angie Stone saying her reverence. Let's get some reverence from the scriptures. Can we go to 1 Peter?
Mm-hmm. You sure can.
Can't go to 1 Peter. 5.
This is a Bible show. How can you say that?
So 1 Peter. 1 Peter, what is it? 3.
Man, all right.
Backwards.
You want 3 and 1?
I want 3 and 5.
Ooh, okay. 1 Peter 3 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
It says, for after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands.
Okay, come on.
Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are. I read the verse 6 again. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement.
So Sarah called Abraham Lord, my Lord. It is good to see you, my Lord. What?
No, hold on.
Reverence.
Hold on.
Reverence.
Okay.
Come on. Go ahead.
That's reverence. I gotta follow through with verse 7. Verse 7. Okay, because some people we lost them when they said she called Abraham Lord. Okay, I'm done. They talking madness. No, let's read on. Because it reciprocates. Verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So take that.
Read 8.
Take that. Verse 8.
Read 8.
Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous.
So we could go all day doing this. We could go all day to the break of dawn talking about love according to the Bible. And it far exceeds the love that's in this world, the love that they teach in this world. Finally, be all of one mind. Because it's like, Abaja, you always love to bring it back. Like, look, you think, you know, women, you don't want women to think like this is unequal. Because we want the Lord to be praised. We want his name to be, so we don't want people to think evil of the Lord. So, but it says, finally, be ye all of one mind. And what mind is that? We're supposed to have the mind of Christ. Because Christ didn't discriminate against men. He didn't discriminate against women. He's like, we all sinners. And he all showed us the way. He was kind to us all. He showed us salvation. He met the adulterous woman who was caught in the act. Bada boop, bada bing, bada boom. Getting it on. They caught her in the very act. Brought him to him. And he says, where are thine accusers? None, my Lord. He says, neither do I accuse you. Go your way and sin no more. He forgave her. He forgave her. Finally, be you all of one mind. Yeah, and corrected her. Have compassion.
And sin no more.
Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. So let's go back. Ephesians 5:22. Reverence your husband. I gave him some on Valentine's Day, so he should be happy and leave me alone, you know. Just give me what I want, or I'm going to raise hell in here. You got a lot of women that's like that, causing their husband all kinds of problems to get what they want. They're manipulating them. You're supposed to love them and care for them. Reverence him. Be in awe of him. Go ahead, Ephesians 5:22.
All right, 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
Mm. Woo, that's a powerful verse. Read it again.
Is. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
Submit means to give power, authority over to another. So you give your power and authority over to your husband? Well, we give our power and authority over to the Lord. That means I'm going to listen to what the Heavenly Father, what Christ is my head over me. He's a leader over me, so I'm going to listen to what he says in righteousness. So you're supposed to listen and give power and authority over to your husband in righteousness. And don't be fooled, don't be tricked, and think that women don't have no power. They have all the power. If you're not serving God, guess what? Wake up call, you serving a woman.
Mm.
If you're not serving God, you're serving a woman.
Yeah.
People in the ancient world, they knew this because all their gods or the majority of their gods was women.
I'm gonna add to that.
Go ahead.
Now, I used to work this one of my old jobs. I used to work with this old guy, and long story short, he was like, "Man, you ain't gonna never stop paying for the PU whatever." I ain't gonna say the rest of it, but y'all understand. I'm like, dude, what you talking about? He said, when you're married, you're still paying for it. I said, what do you mean you're paying for it? That new washing machine, that new dryer, that TV, that car, the house, the new carpet, you're always going to be paying for it.
Mm-mm-mm.
And that's the mentality of when we're not dealing with the scriptures and we're not dealing with the understanding and the wisdom and the order that is set up by the Heavenly Father in Christ. That mentality, yeah, that's the mentality that we're going to have, and that's going to be our outlook towards marriage, the ball and chain. Happy wife equals happy life. Get over it.
And that's a sad prospect, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I think Proverbs is much better.
This old battle axe.
I think Proverbs is much better, that you're supposed to rejoice with the wife of thy youth and let her breast satisfy thee at all times and always be ravished with her love. I think Proverbs is doing a lot better, brother. It's a happy thing.
Yeah.
He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. That's what the scripture says. And obtaineth favor from the Lord. See, we could do this all day. Not because we're smart or intelligent, because this is the word of the Heavenly Father. This is what it says in God's word. A lot of people got the book in the house, on the mantelpiece, open to some psalms, probably need to be open to Psalm 51, but they're not reading it. You're going and celebrating Valentine's Day when the love of God is far superior. It's far superior.
But guess what?
Yeah.
To be entitled to that, you have to live this. And people aren't willing to do that.
Well,
you have to commit to the Lord and live this. Yeah, we have to choose and commit to this as a way of life to enjoy this. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we're hypocrites. So anyway, I'm going to read on. I'm still in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, in verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body.
Right. So if you were ever confused on what the order was, now you know. The husband is the head of the wife. Even as, who's the head over the man?
Christ.
I ain't listen to no man. I was speaking to someone at my job. He was a librarian. And she's like, I don't know, man. I showed her 1 Corinthians 11. Okay? That's the famous one we go to. 1 Corinthians 11, show you the order. Okay? The mm-hmm. man's the head of the woman and the head over God, the head over Christ is God. And it's like, that's kind of misogynistic. You know, like, ooh, a big word. It's like hatred towards women. Like, no. Then I showed her Ephesians, and I showed her everything that God had commanded the man to do towards his wife. And you know what she said? What? You know what she said? She said, that man.
Sign me up.
That's what she said, brother. She said, that man I would submit to, but there ain't no men out there like that. That's what she said. There are, but very few. Very few.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the world view. That's the world view. There's no love. There's no kind men. There's no forgiving men. Men blaming women for things they did before even in a relationship 20 years ago.
Oh, man. But you know what, Godwin, it's funny because before you read the rest of the scriptures, the first one, the man being the head, immediately it was, okay, every man that I did, pretty much most of any man that I came across, they just flawed. They ain't out there. I'm not submitting to that. And you have men, likewise, they will read that same scripture. I'm the man, damn it, I wear the pants. No, because you ain't submitted yourself to Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that authority comes from the Lord. We got about
exactly.
3 minutes. We got about 3 minutes. We want to wrap it up. So, you know, I want to close with this. Go to Ephesians, 1 Peter 5.
All right.
Because we're talking about love.
Which you want to find?
Hold on a second. Sorry, not Peter's. 1 John 5. 1 John 5.
1 John chapter 5. And verse 3.
So we're gonna end it off on this. We were talking about love. We shown what the love was, how we're supposed to love, keep God's commandments. And so we're gonna end it off on this, on what love is. Because it's supposed to be Valentine's Day. And this is not something that the Heavenly Father has sanctioned. He hasn't sanctioned a Valentine's Day, a day of love. Okay, a day of erotic love. The Lord just told us to love one another, to be kind to one another. Love is kind. Love is patient. You know, when you read 1 Corinthians 13th chapter, read that. It tells you about love and how love is. So read this on closing, brother. 1 John 5 and 3.
1 John 5 and 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous.
This is love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. So we give all praises to the Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. This is Kings and Priests. Check us out next week. Check us out, Body of Christ Radio Network. We do shows 7 days a week, getting the words of truth out to the people. So with that, we say shalom.
Shalom.
About my life.
This is the Body of Christ Church, and you are listening to our program, Kings and Priests, where we teach repentance to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. In these last days, darkness has covered the earth, and gross darkness covers the people. But for those who choose to hear the words of the Father and the instructions of Jesus Christ, He will give them the power to become the nation of kings and priests they were ordained to be from the foundations of the earth.